let's look ahead to next week. Let's look ahead to the Valspar. Obviously, Jason, the field isn't going to be quite as good as this field, right? We're going to have some guys kind of taking some time off over the next couple of weeks leading into the Masters. But we do have some names that I think are bettable. So maybe right off the bat. So let's talk about maybe what you're looking for at the Valspar, maybe a couple of names that you already have your eyes on.
Yeah, so first of all, for those who haven't looked at the field yet, and I've been looking for at least 20 minutes now, Xander Schauffele, Justin Thomas, Sam Burns, some of the bigger names there. I'm sure I'm missing a few here. But yeah, the field's not bad. I think it was like 25 of the OWGR top 50, right around there. So field isn't terrible. I'm looking for, despite what we saw last year, I think last year is a complete outlier as far as the winner is concerned. Peter Malnati hits it 250 and crooked, which doesn't usually get it done on the PGA Tour, and especially on that golf course. That was the Brian Campbell of last year. And for those that weren't watching the Valspar a year ago, it was just like Campbell going to a driver-heavy golf course, being the shortest guy on the PGA Tour and somehow beating the longest guy on the PGA Tour in a playoff. Made no sense, any of it. Malnati, sort of the same thing at the Valspar last year. I'm going back to what we've learned over the years at Innisbrook, which is I want some big, brawny, long-hitting ball strikers. And so, I may start the card, and Mike and I alluded to it earlier, with the amateur, Luke Clanton. He's got his PGA Tour card locked up already. He's a Florida kid, plays better on these Florida golf courses that he knows pretty well. I'm waiting to see the number. I'm very anxious to see what the number is with a still rusty Xander and a kind of coming back JT. And, you know, I just don't know if we get 35 or 40, Mike. I really like Clanton. If it's 25, I'm kind of hemming and hawing a little bit, but I'll be very interested to see what that number is. Nikolai Højgaard's a name I threw out on the Tuesday early wedge show. He missed the cut, but he's top five in strokes gained total so far this year. The other guys we've seen up there, it's Morikawa, who's, okay, not going to win this, but at least playing pretty well. Rory McIlroy, who's right there. Alex Smalley, who a lot of people didn't know much about coming into this week, but he is third strokes gained total. And Scottie Scheffler. So it's the guys who are playing really well, including this week. And Nikolai Højgaard's next on that list. So I expect him to pop at some point here. And I also like the guys that are not playing this weekend. I like the guys that missed the cut and aren't having to deal with all this crap at Ponte Vedra Beach right now.
Yeah.
The guys who have been playing well throughout the year, Michael Kim and Andrew Novak, the guys who probably aren't happy about having the weekend off, but the more and more this weather comes in, the more they see the wind, the more they're going to sit on the couch and go, you know what? I feel pretty good about next week instead.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Mike, when we're looking at previous winners here, Jason Sobel mentioned Peter Malnati, which does feel like a bit of an outlier. Taylor Moore in 2023, I mean, I got to be honest, Taylor Moore's had a very good players. I think he's an interesting call for next week as well, and I snuck him into the one showdown lineup I had for round four, so we'll see how that goes. The prior 2 years, Sam Burns, that 2022 and 2021, COVID year in 2020, and then 2019, it was Liv's Paul Casey. Xander Schauffele, Jason, you mentioned, looks like Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Victor Hovland, Will Zalatoris, looks like they're playing here. But Mike, your guy, he mentioned it, Luke Clanton also playing here. You have your eyes on him again?
Yeah, I'll definitely be playing some Luke Clanton, anticipating playing him at least, depending on where the number comes in. I think it'll be pretty friendly overall because, as you guys mentioned, the field is actually quite strong. You're going to have JT and Xander in there. Zalatoris will be back in this one. Tommy Fleetwood's still in the field. Sepp Straka. So there's a good number of guys that are going to eat up that top 7-8 on that odds board. So I think that we're going to get a good number on Clanton. I will probably like Sepp Straka, Tommy Fleetwood again. I will almost definitely be going back to Michael Kim. I'm fascinated to see where he comes in on his, not just his outright number, but his pricing in DFS. I think that Michael Kim is someone we'll be right back to. Other guys, we got the Berger withdrawing. I did kind of like the setup a little bit for Berger, so that's not super fun that he is withdrawn from that. Victor Hovland is in this field, not going to play Vic right now. Hope it gets better for him soon, but not going to play him. Yeah. The strength of the field looks pretty good though. So I think that, I think Connors is in the field as well, yes. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we're going to get our good number on Clanton. I think it'll be at least 30 to 1.
Yeah.
All right.
I can get down with that.
We like Clanton. I'm just going to throw out Taylor Moore because I think it'll be a long number, and I think he's playing well. Do we want to throw out any other name? I know we got Clanton, Jason Sobel. Maybe Connors was thrown out there. Jason, anybody else?
I'm just going to keep fanboying, and at this point, I'm so pot committed. I'm going to throw Keith Mitchell out there. He's playing some good golf. He didn't play well again this week, but I like, you look at the stats. Like, he's a top five driver on the PGA Tour who last year was a top 15, top 20 iron player. I don't know. Like, if I putt for him, he's going to win golf tournaments, and I'm not a good putter. I don't know. Like, it's one of those, like, statistical anomalies. You put it all together, and you're like, how does this guy not have better results? Again, looking at it. I'm looking at a name that might be 75, 80 to one, something like that, and take a chance on him. But Zalatoris could be interesting coming off this week. I'm looking for guys with upside, obviously, in the outright market. Cam Davis could have some interest there. Kurt Kitayama a little bit. Kitayama's number has been way too short for me all year. I keep looking at his results and his performance, and I'm like, is he doing something that I'm missing? Because his number is just short on a weekly basis. And it's a guy that I would probably target if he was, 20 points higher on a weekly basis. But he's just not. And until that number creeps a little longer, he's probably not a guy that I look at. But we'll see what that number gets to. And I don't know. There's not a lot of great options, quite frankly. It's either coming from the top of the board or it's somewhere – way down, like a Malnati kind of thing, which, by the way, I'd love to see if anyone had a Malnati ticket from last year, that might have been less predictable than Brian Campbell.
I actually felt bad for Malnati because I believe it was on 18 in round two of the Players where he triple bogeyed. He was minus three. I believe he put it in the water to triple bogey the final hole and end up on even instead of minus one and make the cut. So I actually felt pretty bad for him. Mike, before we transition, I do have to ask you about Keith Mitchell and guys like Kurt Kitayama, because Kitayama's number has been short because he's been a model darling. The ball striking has been unbelievable. So the betting community as a whole reps him out. He gets bet down, and then his number becomes kind of laughably short, especially when you juxtapose that with his actual finishes. I got to say, I'm not betting Keith Mitchell, but it's not like it's been that bad. He kind of is a punchline to some degree, but he's gained ball striking, which I think we can anticipate. Not in a huge way, five tournaments in a row. But it's not like he's losing that much with the short game. I mean, he's losing, but it's like, a stroke here, a stroke there. Is this the type of tournament where like a Kurt Kitayama or Keith Mitchell could actually break through? Or is this like, hey, we're not dealing with those. I'm not wasting my money on those guys.
I think both can be true. I am not wasting my money investing on them, and they can absolutely break through and win that golf tournament. I think that there are valid reasons to back both of them in both cases. Probably not going to get to either. If I were to get to one, it probably would be Kurt Kitayama. Mm-hmm. But there's enough that I like in the field that I think is going to be priced pretty appropriately.
Yeah.
That I don't think that I'll end up getting there.
Well, we got big ticket Mike. We got big ticket Jason. We'll see y'all later this week to talk about the Valspar. Thanks for joining us. It was a different time. Don't forget, next Sunday, we'll just be here, this same exact show, probably plus Patrick McDonald at 1 o'clock as opposed to 9 o'clock. But we make the adjustment for you, and we appreciate you making the adjustment for us. This is The Early Wedge on behalf of Josh on the ones and twos and threes and fours, Jason Sobel, Mike McClure. See you next time right here on The Early Wedge.
Podcasts.